rub against something that people like or they don't like. And I've said to preacher guys that are going to go out and be a pastor somewhere, in a class I talked one time, I said, well, the last thing you want in your church is a musician. Because they'll come in and they'll play something, and half the church will like it and half the church won't like it. And if you don't like it as pastor, you're done, because half the people like the guy. And if you do like the stuff and half the church doesn't, then you'll lose that half. And they really have caused problems within the churches. They don't cause problems in the churches anymore, because most of the people that know something's wrong with the music are out of the churches, because they can't sit there and take it. And it isn't just a musical thing. In fact, in most cases, it doesn't have to be a musical thing. You don't have to know what those little dots and lines and tic-tac-toes and the little bees that are on. You don't really have to know that. 1 Corinthians 14, it's a speaking in tongues chapter, but that's okay, because he's still talking about a voice. And down in verse 7, he's talking about things without life giving sound, whether pipe or harp. So we're talking musical instruments here. It's not just speaking in tongues. He said, unless they give a distinction in the sounds, how shall be known what is piped or harped? How are you going to know what this is, you know, unless it's very distinct in its sound? And thus we come up with the scripture, supposedly, for Christian music. Unless it sounds like Christian music, then it's not Christian music. Well, what does Christian music sound like anymore? It doesn't sound any different. You can go flipping through the radio channels at night and not know when you went by a Christian station. I mean, you really can't tell anymore. So, what we're looking at here, verse 10, there can be a difference in the music, and it can be very distinctive. It just happens to be that nobody wants the distinctive sound of really a music that would please God. And yes, there is a music that would please God. And I'll just say that. And Paul's the one that tells us about it. I've got that one up there for. And it says in verse 10, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world, and none of them is without signification. So there's voices all over the place. Not language, just voices. And there's something that we hear all the time. Therefore, if I know not the meaning of the voice, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian. And he that speaketh shall be a barbarian unto me. Okay, so if you don't understand a voice, and you hear it, do you or do you not respond to it? I don't respond to German. I don't understand German. I mean, I understand German, but I don't understand it anymore. I wouldn't know what they're saying. But music is considered the universal language, universal voice. Everybody responds to music. And they respond to music pretty much in the same way. Either they respond with the flesh, or they respond with the spirituality, or they respond in the mind. They understand it, kind of a thing. And with emotions and tears and all that kind of stuff. So we all respond to that stuff. And you know how you can do this. You can take a scary movie and put some kind of a Bugs Bunny soundtrack to it, and the movie will be funny. You can take a funny movie and play some kind of box staccato and make it scary. The music does that. And in the movie world, anybody that puts music or puts in their halfway supposedly good movie, puts any kind of classical kind of music to it, that movie will probably be a classic over time. It used to be maybe 10, 20 years ago, I don't know when it was, when commercials kind of went into classical music. I'll tell you what that is in a minute if you don't know what that is. They went into the classical music, Beethoven, Bach and stuff, on the TV commercials. And a high-quality car place would have classical music. And somebody trying to sell a Yugo would have some little recorders or some little kazoos or something. That's how they studied music. They study music to death, and they know what to play. They know what to play to manipulate you to do what they're going to do. They will, not just subliminal stuff in between the verses, or in between the music. You go into a restaurant, you go into any place that's got any kind of national ranking to it, their music is there for a purpose. What they're playing is for a purpose, music. And it will affect us. It will affect us how we eat. It'll affect our digestion. It'll affect whether or not we eat quickly and get out of there, get more customers in, or we slow down and take our time and pay more money for the food. I mean, you don't go in a restaurant and they're just playing stuff for the fun of it. Although here we've heard a lot of the 50s stuff, you know, or 60s stuff, or whatever years we were. I don't know what that was anymore. And yet, the golden oldies that we all kind of go back to, if we're going to go back to something worldly, we have to remember there was a purpose for those gold. When those golden oldies were new, those golden oldies were transferring somebody our age to a different level of music. So because we've got such little kids today, we got to pull that stuff back up again. It's going to do it again. Got to bring that generation of kids right through it again. So there's a purpose for this music. You don't go into hardly any stores and they don't have that music on purpose for what they're playing. So music manipulates us. And if we don't understand that voice, it says, I shall be unto him that speaketh a barbarian. In other words, you will do what it tells you to do. And you can't stop yourself. I go into stores now and some of the stuff I'm dealing with, and the music just, it bothers me. Because I haven't been around it. People that have been around it all the time, they're used to it. But look at the people. They're neurotic. They're thinkless. They've been damaged. So, other than the King James Bible, with all the different Bibles floating around, I think probably the second, in the rightly dividing and things, I think probably the second most dangerous thing that we have to deal with as parents or whatever, or in the church or whatever, is music. It's a huge tool of the devil today. Now, doesn't have to be. And was it always that way? Well, of course not. So, I just want you to realize, and I've told people, listen, if you don't understand music in your house, and you don't understand this voice of music, then get rid of it. You don't have to have music in your house. Laurel Ingalls Wilder didn't have any music in her house, unless she sang it. Okay, but she played it. And back in the olden days, if you wanted music, you had to play this stuff. If you wanted to play, and that goes back in the days when they had pianos and all that stuff, everybody had a piano, and everybody, if you wanted music, you played a piano. Nobody could turn on any kind of a record or whatever. And it was John Philip Sousa, actually, not that you know who John Philip Sousa is, that said back in the 1900s when the century thing changed over, what do they call it, the turn of the century, he said that the recorder, they just invented the record player, is going to destroy America. The guy knew that. And the recording of music has destroyed America. Because nowadays, I mean, I'll show you just a real fast history of the big picture, I call it, of music. And I'll show you that where we are today doesn't matter. You can have any kind of music you want today. It can be bought in a music store. And that tells me that we're done with time, too. And we're talking about the goodness of God, and they don't continue that, then God's going to cut off the Gentile nation. I think music has always told us ahead of time what's coming. And now that we're done with all the growth, all the three races have done their thing, and it's ended up the way it's done, and the new age comes in, and the devil's coming down, it's all ready to go. I mean, the music concert's ready to play. Just for music. So, that's one way to look at music, is historically. The second way to look at it, is musically. The actual dots and the lines and the spaces and all that stuff. And you can learn that there's, if this is like trying to teach Greek. How many here know what music, you can read music? I mean, can you read? I'm going to do it this way. How many don't know what those dots mean when you open up that hymn book to 346? Okay. Serious? I mean, they're just, looks like dots. Okay. I can't understand that. But that's okay. And those dots, here we go. Yeah, all those little dots and circles on there. Those dots just tell somebody to play this note, or 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 sing it, or whatever. And they're listed on. You got five lines that tells you what. It's just a way of reading a language. And it's a language that kids ought to learn to read. But it takes years to learn it, not just look at it. So it takes a long time. Especially if we do one lesson a month. That doesn't help. But we'll settle down and get this thing going. So, I can show, and I should say it this way, it can be shown through the language of music how you can be manipulated. Just by how they do the chords. That chord is more than one note played at the same time that actually sound okay. This doesn't sound bad. That should sound bad. If that doesn't sound that doesn't sound bad to you, you don't need children. Or you have children. Take your pick, I guess. But there's a pleasant sound, there's a dissonant sound. And the dissonant is something that doesn't sound right. And your body's not trained to that. And we have brought our children up in this day and age, they have not been brought up with clean sound. So it doesn't matter to them that they hear this, what we call the offbeat stuff and the dissonant sounds. It doesn't matter to them. That's normal to them. It's just like most young people today, they never knew there was one Bible in America. And if you try to tell them this is one Bible, they say, well, what are you trying to start? I'm sorry, we've been here since 1611, okay? We haven't been, but the book has been here since 1611. You're the guys that are making a fuss about words. So, same thing with the music. So, there's two ways of looking at that. And then the third way is if you don't understand it, and you don't understand the language, and you don't understand the spiritual history of this thing, then honestly, you don't want it around. Because it will hurt your children. Well then, so we don't have it in our house. Where do we go? It's everywhere. That's probably one of the hardest things we're dealing with today. It might be in a good Bible study video. I can't think of any Bible study, not that I've seen any of them, I suppose, but I would imagine that there are no Bible study videos for children that do not have music. I don't think they ever have any videos without music. Okay, so if we go back to Genesis chapter 9, Shem, Ham, and Japheth, for the three races, white, black, and brown, Oriental, African, and Caucasian, European, whatever. And this isn't meant to be a racial sermon whatsoever. It has nothing against anybody. It's not that kind of a deal. And yet if we study that particular race, the white man's race, music, the black man's music, and you trace the history of the Shemite, then you come up with an absolutely spectacular understanding of music that you can actually be comfortable in knowing that you're pleasing God. And yet, the devil is so good at this that he can take good music, and there is good. The issue is not good and bad music, but there is a good and bad music. And the devil himself has already done it. He's already taken good music, quality, clean music that pleases God in that realm, and can use it to destroy a Christian still. And he can still use it to destroy children and the whole thing. So, it really isn't... for example, if you have some Christian music that you really like, and we'll call it Christian, we'll call it classical, whatever it is, and it's clean, whatever, and you get up in the morning and you've got to play your music, and you haven't got time to read your Bible, and you come home from a horrible day, and you pop on your music, or you see what I'm saying? Whatever, this is another sermon, whatever characteristic that the Spirit of God has to a Christian, whatever characteristics are listed there for a Christian, music matches it to the T or to the letter or whatever. It just fits. So, I'm just trying to remember these things here as we go here. In Genesis chapter 9, remind me, Saul, just remind me of the Saul thing. Genesis chapter 9, we see the three races with where are we at here? Verse 25, and he said, cursed be Canaan, of servant of servants. And he said, blessed be the Lord God of Shem, and Cain shall be a servant, and God shall enlarge Japheth, and he shall dwell in the tents of Shem, and Cain shall be a servant. And we go from those three people right there. And let's go to Samuel. Which one? I don't know. I know it's one of two. I think it's 2 Samuel. No, I think it's 1 Samuel. I think it's 1 Samuel 14 or 15 or 13. 11, 12, 13, 14, 14. 1 Samuel. Okay, come on, memory bank. Those of you from the past, you know them. You know what I'm looking for here. Is it 16? 16. David and the harp. 16:14. You should have notes for that. Yep, 16:14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul. Are you familiar with this story? Saul has a horrible time. And 14 on down, and they said, let's go get a musician. Let's get a guy in verse 16, a cunning player on a harp. That's David. He's cunning. He knows what to do with that musical instrument. And you go through this thing, and Saul gets all messed up, and David comes along, and he plays his music. And the verse 23, it says there, and it came to pass, the evil spirit from God was upon Saul, that David took an harp and played with his hand, and so Saul was refreshed and was well, and the evil spirit departed from him. We have a proof text here that first we're three parts. We are physical, we are flesh, mental, and spirit. We are physical, mind, spiritual. And David came along with his music, and he took this guy who was sick spiritually, physically, and mentally, and fixed him with music. So there you are. The problem here is in verse 14. But the Spirit of the Lord departed from Saul, and an evil spirit, see? Now, we don't have the evil spirit. We've got the Spirit of God in us. And this is a proof text for musicians all over the world, that for Bible Christians, that see this music can help us physically, mentally, and spiritually. And it can. I mean, you can't deny that. But we're supposed to get our comfort and our spiritual healing and all that stuff from the Spirit of God, not from our music. Does the Spirit of God work through music? No, He works through the Word of God. So we have people in our ranks, Paul ranks, King James Bible ranks, that are setting their Bible aside for good music. I mean, you can actually teach them what good music is. And because very seldom anybody plays it themselves, they have to just listen. And you can't buy a CD that's got all good music on it. There's going to be something in that CD that shouldn't be there. It's like you want to buy a piece of sheet music for a piano, you got to buy a collection. And you got to get 49 crummy songs so you can get six good pieces out of there, or something like that. That's what's going on. I mean, there's at our age, we have seen music change. When we first, skip that thing. So we have here an example, but there's a key thing is that Saul didn't have the Spirit of the Lord. So no, we can't go to music to comfort us. It does comfort us, and it does emotional work on us, and it does. But if we let that take the place of the Bible, devil got another victory. He can't get your soul, but he can transfer you over to music. And then once you get hooked on music, that is one of the hardest things to change in a person's life is their music. Because if they like it, and God hasn't stopped me from playing it, you know how that all thing goes. He hasn't chastised me, and He hasn't stopped me, and He allows me to do it, and I enjoy it, then certainly God must like it. And that's just where they are with this thing. You'll make people mad when it comes to their music, and you won't make them mad when it comes to Bibles anymore. And besides that, it is a hard thing to teach to them anyway. But it bothers you because you know that the music they're playing is destroying their children. It's a hard thing to see. I do have a track back there for $9.95. I'll throw in a real piece of the harp that David played. And here's some questions you can ask yourself about music. You don't believe me? I think I got one string left, but that's big bucks for the string. And this will just ask you some questions about music. And really, nobody really cares about music. They just either they like it or they don't. And if they don't like it, they turn it off or whatever. Or they just play it to play it. So let me just show you what else can I do on music here? If we talk about Moses and where he strikes the rock the second time he strikes the rock. And what happens? He was wrong. But he still got water. Abundant. I mean, they got all the water they needed. And yet, Moses had to pay for that thing. So here's God's chastisement. No, but the point is Moses did wrong and he got results. So we have people in these churches doing wrong with their music and getting fantastic results. But we know Paul says in Timothy, there are those out there that think that gain is godliness. So they can do whatever they can do. If they get people to come in, Acts chapter 2, where they want to become favored with all the people, then change your music. And you'll have them coming in here. And if they come in, then you've proven to yourself that you've got gain. You can go start another church in some other part of town someplace, get all you guys out there, and change what goes on inside that church, and you can start a church. You just change your music and drop the Bible issue. They don't care about the Bible thing, but bring that music in. I signed out here at this one church the other night. It said, music, 8 o'clock. And they're all doing music. Okay? And why are they all doing music? Because, which I said earlier, the tribulation, when Antichrist comes, it's a fleshly time. The music today is very fleshly, which I'll show you how it got to that point. Very fleshly in the churches. The worship is false, according to Paul in Acts chapter 17. And the Spirit of God is upon their flesh, because their flesh has to respond properly. So the devil's going to have fleshy music that will pull them away from doing right with the flesh. It will be a flesh battle. And music, I believe music's going to be the power, because it already is the power in today's churches. It will be the power that the devil will use on our children when they get older. They're already under attack with music. You can't, I don't like videos. But the biggest thing I don't like about videos, other than the Great Commission baloney that we subtly teach our children, is the music that's in there. They just become numb to that stuff. And knowing that the devil's going to use that power on them, I tell people, you keep your music as clean as you possibly can within your home. And they say things like, well, yeah, you got to get out in the world someday. Yes, but don't push it. Don't encourage it. Keep them clean as long as you can, so when they do hear something that's bad, they know it's bad. That's all. And if you can't do that, then I guarantee your kids will go to the world. Music is that powerful. Why not? Hello. Okay. Okay, bye. I'll be there. Bye. We have to find out whose number this is on a reverse thing. Because some girl was calling her dad, and dad's supposed to pick her up at 5:30 at the other house. No. I suppose you're better, huh? Let me check here to see the number here. 509-540-2304. Hi, Dad. 509. Yeah. Right.
Say it again. 509.
54. Excuse us a minute. 540.
540. That is.
It's not douchey, so don't worry about it.
No, that's
Would you go see who's watching this program tonight, please? I'm just kind of curious.
It's probably a school. Yeah, it's a school thing.
Probably a school thing, yeah, because there's nobody answering the school phone. Hello. You just called. You could be picked up. I'm not your dad, okay? And you you dialed the wrong number. I just want you. I better call you back and tell you that your dad has no idea that you called, so he's not going to come get you at 5:30 yet. So. And I'm calling from Ohio, so I don't have near enough time to get a hold of your dad to go pick you up, okay? Yep, bye. She's like about 10. One of those prostitutes, probably. No, I don't know what it is. She'll get over it. You know what's going to happen? This girl's going to get kidnapped tonight, and they're going to find the phone. They're going to trace it back to us down here, you know. It's the last thing for the conference to just shut it down. The SWAT team runs into here, you know.
We got video back here.
Oh, great. Oh, there we go. Yeah, there we go. There we go. Let's go to Amos. Is anybody still there? Okay. Oh, Peter, Massachusetts. Good. We got a family here from Vermont tonight, Peter and Mark. Good. Well, of course Mark is still there. Mark is as reliable can be. Amos chapter 6. Amos chapter 5. Amos, anyway. Amos chapter 6. Here we go. We got till 9 o'clock, so if you have to get up and leave, get up and leave. Music can just take for days to talk about this thing. I would love to have a drink of water, though. Okay, I won't go that long. I mean, I will, but what are we going to do? Go home and go to bed? Can't do anything else. Yes, we can. Okay, Here's another verse about music. I'll get into this thing, and I'm just winging my memory bank because I haven't talked about this for so long. My tracks aren't even polyated, but they're pretty close. Amos chapter 6, verse 1. Woe to them that... Old Testament, I know that, but remember, things that happened in the old are going to happen again. The pattern is there for it to happen again, so we can learn. We're supposed to learn from this stuff. Verse 1. Woe to them that are ease at Zion. Chapter 6, Amos. And, you know, the lazy Christian. Nobody's hot, nobody's cold, that kind of a thing, even though I don't believe in the Laodicean church age, we're close to it kind of a thing. Then it goes down to verse 4. There's characteristics in there, but he says in verse 4, that lie upon beds of ivory. So, read that like that. Woe to them that are ease at Zion, that lie upon beds of ivory, and stretch themselves upon their couches. The couch potato. There's your couch potato in the Bible. And eat the lambs out of the flock, and the calves out of the midst of the stall. And here's just something else they do. That chant to the sound of the viol and invent to themselves instruments of music, comma, like David. So these people that God is not happy with, thank you very much, have music in their lives. And the chant is repetition of the same thing over and over and over and over and over again. That's a chant. All the time. And that repetition hypnotizes people. And music is full of that stuff today, in the rock music and all that stuff. Woe to them that chant to the sound of the viol and invent to themselves, in other words, to please themselves, instruments of music. And I hope your word is spelled M-U-S-I-C-K. That's a pretty good clue. You got a good Bible. Comma like David. Now, comma. Then like David. Okay, now a new Bible, different variations of this thing, but the general gist is, their Bibles say, invent to themselves of music like David did. Throw in the word did. Take the comma, throw in the word did. So in other words, again, we can take a modern Bible, and we can go into this book, and we can find scriptural proof of how we can go to music for ourselves. David did it, so can we. And yet we know from Paul that we're to please Him. Our music is there to please Him. Is there music that pleases God? Okay, let's go to Daniel. Let's go to Daniel. I'm sorry, what?
What about the next verse?
Oh, you can go to Job, and see if I can. Let's go to Job here for a minute. Oh yeah, I want to do this. This is good. I like this. Go to Job. You know, preaching really is fun. You got people that say, tell me what you need to say. Okay, well, here we go. Where's the stuff about the wicked? Job 20-something, I think. There it is, 21. Yeah, there we go. There's something evil about that laugh, isn't there? Have you noticed? You know, here we go. This is the wicked. We're just talking about Amos, okay? So we jump over to this thing. Wherefore, in verse 7, talk about the wicked, chapter 21, verse 7. Wherefore do the wicked live, become old, yea, and their mind, they have a great life. That's what he's saying here. Their horses are safe from fear. They got the good barns and the whole thing. Neither is the rod of God upon them, because we know that's the goodness of God today. But anyway, slow down, okay. Verse 11. They send forth their little ones like a flock, and their children dance. They take the timbrel and harp. This is the wicked, worldly bunch here. And they take the timbrel and harp and rejoice at the sound of the organ. They spend their days in wealth and in a moment go down to the grave. And I look at this little list here. Everybody's there asking, why are the wicked having such a great time? Look at one of the things that the wicked people have for a characteristic. Their little ones are dancing to music. And I could just picture somebody seeing their cute little one dancing to the music that's going on and saying something like, isn't that cute? Because people don't realize that you can test your music with your baby. I mean, if your kid starts doing one of these kind of things or whatever they do when they start jumping around, I would venture to say that there could be something wrong with it. Not that beat in music is bad. But the little babies give away a lot of that stuff. So there's the wicked, and they pile this music onto these kids. Go to Daniel chapter, it's probably Daniel chapter 3, I think it is. Somewhere, Daniel chapter 5. Boy, memory is just... We're just looking at Old Testament examples of how music is being used today to prove what's going on in the churches is right. Jewish. They're not doing Jewish music, but they're doing music Jewishy. Yeah, if that's a word, they're doing music Jewishy in their churches. Now, Daniel chapter 5. No, it's not Daniel chapter 5. It's got to be 3. Thought it was. Yeah. You got these guys, and Nebuchadnezzar's got this statue stuff, and he says in verse 10. Actually, he says it in verse 5. Isn't my Bible marked? I must have a different Bible. My Bible. Verse 5. And he said, Nebuchadnezzar, listen, you guys. At the what time you hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, which is like a trombone, psaltery, dulcimer, you fall down and worship the golden image that Nebuchadnezzar the king has set up. So they got music that'll start this thing. Now, I left out one little phrase. All kinds of music. So Nebuchadnezzar is going to play music to these people. They're going to bow down to his image. It wasn't just bad music. It wasn't just rock music. It was all kinds of music. So that's why, and he says it again in verse 7. He says it again in verse 10. And he says it again in verse 15. All kinds of music. You're going to bow down and worship the image. So Nebuchadnezzar being the type of Antichrist, then we know for a fact that music's going to be the thing that kicks in worshiping this image, and it's going to be all kinds of music. It isn't just going to be Christian rock or anything. It can be the good stuff. We could play the piano in such a manner that we could bring in the highbrow crowd. We could always have some... Well, they do. The Protestant churches, they always bring in these church choirs, you know, these college choirs, and they sing the cantata of St. Benedictine, the monk or something, you know, really high-classy, highbrow kind of stuff. They're bringing the Messiah into their church. They have no idea what the Messiah is about, but it's one of those Christmas... I'm sure they do that around here. I'm sure they must do that around here. And how you could go to the Messiah and just sit there and go... They're lost people. So we see from a Daniel standpoint that music is going to play a huge part in the Antichrist coming back, just because of that thing right there. So we got Amos, we got Moses, we got Daniel. That's probably good enough for some of the basic, what I call the classic verses. Have I left anything out? The classic verses on the music things. Again, we're looking to Paul. Okay. Well, let's look at Paul for a minute. Let's go to where Paul talks about music. Okay, you got it? Just about everybody knows what Paul says about music. He's a guy who hardly says anything. But he does take it to Colossians. Chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. Okay, now what's teaching and admonishing one another? The music or the word of Christ?
The word of Christ.
It's the word of Christ. It's not the music. Mm-hmm. Music is just a tool to get the word of Christ in an admonishing, teaching situation. Singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Now that doesn't mean that we can't do this together. But that means we also don't have to have rehearsal. And make sure we all sing the proper parts. Now you can do that. But I'll show you the danger to that thing here in a minute. Everything's going to be in a minute. One of these days it will actually come across. But there's an... where's the one in Ephesians? That's Ephesians what? Okay. What's that one say? Verse 19. Same thing. Mm-hmm. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. Now, we're just combining everything into one sermon here. Notice psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. That's a historical order. The history of America's Christianity started off with psalms back in the early pilgrim days. Then you had hymns, Fanny Crosby days. Then you have spiritual songs. Psalms were straight out of the Bible. Hymns were about the Lord and about things out of the Bible. Spiritual songs can be a cucumber singing about Jesus or something. They would consider that a spiritual song. Or Patch the Pirate, the spiritual songs. And they could be teaching some truth and the music could be clean, but most of it isn't. And so there are still, just cute little choruses or spiritual songs. What's the quick kids chorus that we always used to? Well, you know, Peter, John, and James in a sailboat. Is that those three guys? Peter, James, and John in a sailboat. Mm-hmm. That's a spiritual song. Turns out to be wrong because we don't want to study Peter, we don't want to study James, and we don't want to study John. What's the other one that we used to pick on? What's that? Oh, the Archie Ark and all that stuff, molds with a perm and all that kind of good stuff. Yeah, but it's just, you know. Father Abraham. So that's a spiritual song, so whatever. It's just like God knew that it was going to go down the tube just in time. So there's that truth in there. Then it says, making melody in your heart. It doesn't say making rhythm, and it doesn't say making harmony. He specifically says making melody. Melody is a spiritual thing. If I play something like this. Let's see. It's Amazing Grace. And that's a spiritual song. And if you understand grace, and all that, it becomes a spiritual thing to you. Now here it is. In Russian. Okay? Now this is what it is in... Japan. It's the same thing. So it's a universal language, and yet it's a spiritual thing. Melody. When you listen to Indian music, you know, the Indian, not India Indians, but the American Indian kind of a thing, they play melody. Their instruments are melodic. They play these little fluty toots and things like that. And you go to the India Indians, and they've got sitars and things that they don't play chords and stuff. They just play, you know, sitars, Japan, stuff like that. So when God says melody, it's what he likes. So can there be something that would not sound good to God? Well, Paul does talk about music in Philippians, actually. Philippians chapter 4. This is totally just rambling off, so we think of music things. We'll get to the history in a minute. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Now that should be used to our music, because it's going to cause us to think. So is there such a thing? Is there music that actually would fit that, even somewhat? Yeah, you can't just generally say a type of music, because there's always some tweaking going on in the music in the past, but in general, there was a time that music pleased God. When do you think it generally probably would have been? Approximately when do you think it would have been about the time that music was pleasing God? About the same time the Bible was being put out all over the world. About the same time. Now, we're the only ones that would understand that. You know, nobody else would really care about that sort of a thing. But I thought I'd just throw that at you. Well, here we go. You've got Japheth music. That's the white. I know you can't read this, but I can still point and sing anyway. Here, you've got the Japheth music. Japheth music. Western music, but now I don't mean country Western, I mean just the Western civilization thing, has seven notes to it. Then one more note is the same as the first one. It's a seven note scale. Last note doubles the bottom one. Any note. That's our music. That's Japheth music. And you study the history of Japheth music. Remember, God said he'd enlarge it. A large Japheth's work and everything. And you go through a whole process of back in the Dark Ages, Middle Ages, the school people call them, the Dark Ages where it was dark and there was music was no joy, you couldn't even be in, you're not even allowed to sing unless you were part of the Gregorian chant choir party club, and the Catholics controlled the music, there was no joy anyway because anybody that sang the wrong thing, had the wrong Bible, were tortured, and so, no, but you know, music was horrible, they didn't have any instruments or anything. So the Renaissance comes along, thanks to Martin Luther. And They invent this little stick with the holes, all hollow out this stick, and they put the little holes, the fingers over that stuff. Kind of, they didn't invent it, they just made it nicer. And they got this joyous time. And there's joy now, called the recorder. There's these recorder phones, these flutophones, which pretty much every parent in the world hates with how they sound. But it gives the kids, because it's very simple. You don't have to have anything to play a recorder. Well, in these days, they didn't have anything. You know, they were doing good to play a recorder. And by the way, what the schools today are doing is they're taking the kids today, this is like 10 years ago, back to this era with the recorders in the school. Now, it's, you know, you can teach the kids how to play recorder like we did, and then they can progress to a different instrument. But in the schools, they're taking them back to the recorder days, and they're putting them in little sheets, and they're making them dance around little circles, and they're going right back to the druid kind of junk. I mean, this is what's going on in our, well, this is 10 years ago. They're probably already doing that stuff today. So this Renaissance, which is means new birth, it's a time of joy. The Catholic Church has been snookered, and people are figuring it out, and they're breaking away from this thing. And the music has different characteristics. Now, the Baroque era, 1600 to 1750. Now, what's in between 1600 and 1750? 1611 is in there. So I'd have to play a different kinds of music. And there's also, this is Bach, Handel, I don't know if I can do this or not. Kenny, are you familiar with Baroque music?
No.
Oh, that's what I figured. Whatever. You have heard that, okay. That's Bach. Yeah, okay. And you look at architecture, Baroque architecture, they would take this room and there wouldn't be a flat piece of anything. It'd be curly-cued, it'd be squirrely-cued, it would be, I mean, I don't know what they call those shapes. It'd be all sorts of twists and turns and stuff all over the place. That's Baroque. They didn't have anything else to do, so they put up a picture, but they would grind circles and circles and circles and circles, and they just must have got paid by the hour in those days. And that's the same way with music. They would take the music and they would put a lot of things on them. And they're called ornaments. And instead of just doing one of those little things, they would do... They just add stuff to it. Okay? Yeah. Good old Peter and the Wolf. Boom, 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 boom. You've been to music school. Okay, but that music was very clean, very clear. In the first part of this music, I should have put this over here. In the Dark Ages, one note. Then I hate to use this word, but the Japheth music actually evolved. I really hate to use that word. It started off with one note melody, and then somebody got brave. The two notes at the same time. One is called monophony, and the second is called poly, more than one at the same time. And they understood that didn't sound good, but this did. This note right here vibrates for 440 beats per second. You want to count them? See? Well, 440, yeah, it was a good tune. And the next note that matches that would mathematically match 440. 880. So it's very mathematically, scientifically designed. But in those days, they could just tell that was good. Then they added three. Now while they're adding these notes, over time, they're changing instruments. From the recorders, they're putting little keys on these recorders. They're putting pads on these recorders. And then somebody got brave and thought they could do something, spitting into something. And then they made that little instrument. Then they made that into a bigger and a bigger and a bigger one. And then they took a tree branch or something and they carved holes in that thing and put keys on there. And then the one guy took some brass and bent the thing and held it on the side. And they just started creating these instruments all over the place. So what is that? That's God enlarging Japheth. It's the white guy, it's the Japheth guy that came up with all this stuff. Okay? So we finally are getting... There's not a bad note in that piece. Now, there are different things in that music that if they hit the wrong note, which sounds to us like the wrong note, that's called dissonant, and then it fixes it. And you hear the dissonant, you don't know you hear the dissonance, but when it fixes it, your body recognizes that. So you're made tense, and then you're calm. You're made tense, and you're calm. And that did take place during this time. It's just that in the modern music, they make you tense, and they keep you tense. They make you dissonant and bad, but they never fix it up. Okay, so my point is this. As you go through Japheth's music, you study the harmonies, you study the melodies, you study the rhythms, they're all balanced. And false balance is abomination to God. So this music during this time, the concertos, the violin concertos, the piano concertos, the instruments are improved upon, the symphony came about, the orchestras came about, all these composers wrote all this stuff, and most of that stuff is just good stuff. Then you get into the Romantic, where they start doing the emotional stuff with the piano. Then they got into the modern, where you put a cat on the keyboard and the cat would go kink, 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 and that was music because they couldn't come up with this stuff anymore. I will save that thing for a minute here. So you see my point with the Japheth music? I mean, let's talk about it in a quick thing here. But this time right here was called absolute music by the lost world. This is them talking now. The late Baroque, early classical. Handel, Bach, Haydn, Vivaldi, all sorts of names that you can learn. And absolute music, it was music for the sake of beautiful music. Perfect music, it didn't have the dissonance. If it did, it resolved right away. It didn't have the rhythm out of balance. It didn't have too much melody. It had the harmony. Well, if I could skip that, I'll skip the harmony part. Because see, what was important to the Japheth wasn't the melody. It was the harmony. Harmony is more than one note at the same time. We don't just have this. Recognize that? Okay. But the Japheth guy throws in all those first, third, fifth. And there's a progression in there. That's a one. I know it means nothing. It's an F chord. B flat, F. F. C7, C, F. 1-4-5-1. 1-2-4-5-1. There's a pattern in there. And it's in all of it. You can do Beethoven. Don't think of it. But there's a pattern. There's just a total mathematical pattern in there. And so, without further study, that's the music that can fit Philippians 4:9, 4:8. 1750-1825. Now, the guy that finished up the classical is a guy named Beethoven. You've probably heard of Beethoven, not the dog. Okay, the man. And this music was written for purity. The same time the Bible was put out, and Handel, all these guys gave God the glory and the whole spiel. And Beethoven comes along, lost as can be, irritated as can be, and writes what his emotions are. So when you hear Beethoven's music, you're hearing Beethoven. When you hear Handel and Bach and Vivaldi, you're hearing pure music. Does that make sense? Was that a no? Okay. That's a troubled guy. So you hear Beethoven, people love Beethoven. Well, why wouldn't they? He plays their emotions. So he broke into the Romantic era, which is the emotional time. And the Romantic era is just your it's your pretty stuff. Anything romantic? And it's not romantic kissy-huggy stuff. It's just emotional. This is what we're talking about here. Boy, I'd never want to be that. This guy's name is Egghard. I would totally change my name. Chords are nice. Melody. You know, and that's what their music turned into. How did I do on that? You didn't get that on camera, did you? Did you really? Oh. Yeah, well, I don't usually do that. What came over me on that one? That was probably pretty gross looking, wasn't it? Probably didn't see that out there. Okay. Okay, and so then, what? But it didn't take long for music to start sounding like this. This isn't bad. I'm not doing too bad on this. I wonder if I could write that out. In college, I had to write a modern piece like that. It had to sound terrible. And the guy gave me a C.
Oh, no.
Yeah, and I said to the guy, how can you possibly judge that? It made the guy mad. I said, you know, it's just crummy sounding stuff. Now, Japheth music had a progression to it, and there was a time that it pleased God. That's my point. So, yes, we can find music that fits. Okay, now, let's go to Ham. Ham is the African. Their music doesn't progress at all. The music today is the same thing they played back in those days. It's just rhythm. It's just witchcraft jungle beats. It's everything they play in the marching bands in school. I mean, I was teaching a Bible class in New York, and I was playing some witchcraft sounds. We get into this. And I just recognized one of these chants these witches were doing around the campfire. And I don't normally, I'm not that kind of a mind. And I went home and I was able to find it matched a Beach Boys hit. I mean, it matched it exactly. And then that's I know what's going on here. And so, there's no history to this thing. It's just, the history to this is where it's been. Same music, the same beat, the off beat, the rock beat, the jungle beat, the witch beat, the satanic beat. And where has it been? Well, it was in Africa. Africa came over to the West Indies. West Indies went into New Orleans. New Orleans went up the Mississippi River to Chicago. And now we got jazz getting started here now. And it broke out into rock music in due time. And that's the stuff that you can find by studying this thing right here. It's the same stuff. It's where it's at. Well, where is it at today? It's in the churches today. When it wasn't in the churches 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I don't know, 20 years ago, something like
so
that.
So country, rock, pop, all that, from...
Just garbage. Now, I'll show you something in a minute here. We'll do it here. So, somewhere in 1930 or 20 or something like that, back in the big band era, Duke Ellington, the Hamite, and Benny Goodman, the Japheth guy, white guy, got together at Carnegie Hall, and they merged the Japheth music with the Hamite music, and that's where they came up with all this big band stuff. English, white man's, for the sake of, you know, white man's instruments, saxophone, trumpet, clarinet, straight old white man instruments with the black man's beat. So, and that all came together officially. It was a big deal back in the 20s or 30s or whatever. Okay, rock music. Da, da, da. Yeah, you take any of the variations of it, and it's going to have some Japheth in there, but it's going to have a beat. See, the thing with the African music, it's all rhythm, it's all flesh. The thing with the Japheth is it's all harmony. Harmony is mental, emotional. Makes you sad if it's a sad harmony. It makes you excited if it's an excited harmony. It's mental. Now you get down to the spiritual guys, and that's Shem. It even says in there, blessed be the Lord God of Shem. I mean, this is a spiritual bunch of people. You've got the Oriental people. You've either got God's people, or you've got the other Oriental people. And all they ever did was melody. They just played melodies on their little single-string instruments or whatever. They never got into chords, and they never got into rhythm. They just played these little... They didn't have a seven-note scale like we have. The Hamites had no scale. I think they have 25-note thing that they kind of figured around. But there's no pattern there at all. Japheth's music is mathematical to the vibration. It's mathematical to the proper chord. It's just that this jazz thing came along, and not only did they bring in the instruments, they brought in some of the notes that clashed. Oh, that doesn't fit. It doesn't bother us because we've heard that a million times. How about this one? Now, what song is that? There's a movie, teenage lovey-dovey movie that has that interval. So we've heard these intervals so many times, it doesn't bother us anymore. But all that interval meaning distance between two notes, is that right there, but it's spread apart. Wish I could remember the song that fits to, but anyway. So what happens when you do this, called a seventh note, that leads you to that chord. Because if I stop here, a lot of people go, finish it. Thank you. That's how we get that way. So that's how we're led. We play sevenths. We play sixths. That's a jazz chord totally. Because what, you ever watch these guys when they play? They just get into this thing, you know. They know it's a wrong note, and then they fix it. Hawaiian guitars, watch them. Twang, 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 twang. They're bending the notes. They're taking the purity of a plucked note. You can't do anything to that note. It's just vibrations. So they make them electrical, and then they fix them up, and then they bend them, and they twist them, and they play the wrong note, and they fix it. Now, nowadays, you've got flesh is a dominating thing. This harmony, Japheth stuff, nobody understands the Japheth thing because you actually got to study this thing. You actually got to go to school to study Japheth music. You can't just get it. You might like it, but you have no idea why. And so that's kind of like died out with the dying out of brainhood. And the flesh, who cares? Your flesh responds to it. Now we got the Shemite down here and it's melody. So, our hymns, this melody. You go into a professional church, there's such a thing, and the choir spends all their time practicing the harmony parts. They put this nice presentation out there. So see how we're already getting out of balance. We're emphasizing harmony. And if you take these three elements, am I making sense at all? Because I'm kind of yakking over this stuff. You've got melody, harmony, and rhythm. If you take out harmony, you got okay. If you take out harmony and melody, you've got nothing but rhythm, and that's rap. If you overbalance the harmony and back off in this stuff, you're more concerned about the chord structure and emotions and that stuff. If you don't worry about that, but you really emphasize the beat, then you're getting into the fleshy stuff. If you overemphasize the melody and you back off of the harmony and the rhythm, then you got New Age music. New Age music is music without melody, without harmony, and without rhythm. Played next to a waterfall or something. Because it makes you feel better. It's spiritual. You buy these New Age tapes, they don't have drum sets. They don't have the rhythm in there. They don't have an organized pattern of music that Japheth represents. It's just there. And you just imagine yourself on the beach with turtles nipping at your toes, you know, all this kind of stuff. And you just, why I even thought of that, I don't know. But it's just, you know, whatever. Now, let me see if I can finish this up a little bit here. When you go back to the Hamite stuff, and look what's going on today in the music world, it's demonic. For an NIV term, it's devilish for a King James term. Music's terrible. I mean, the record covers, the CD, what do they have nowadays? DVDs, they've got something being smaller than that too, but The covers are just wicked. This is the Christian music. Covers are wicked. It's amazing whatever this is going on. Back in this, by the way, remember when I said when Duke Ellington's guys got together? This is when also Frank Sinatra and Dean Martin and the Rat Pack and all these guys did all this popular Dinah Shore. I know probably means nothing to some of you, but
Bing Crosby.
Bing Crosby, boo-boo-boo-boo, all those kind of guys. Sammy Davis, One-Eyed Jr., you know, all that kind of stuff. Oh, alcoholics and lost Catholics. Man, there's just a wicked bunch of people, you know. Some of course can be, you know. So I think Jack Benny's the only one that made money on being a queer, but what's that? Sodomite. Well, whatever. Now let me show you these three lines down here and I'll show you what the devil's done with good music. If you take this Japheth line of music and you follow the pattern of it all, which drops down here and when you get the rhythm pattern, the Hamite pattern right there. So we got popular music. Japheth's music kind of fades into the sunset unless you're educated and got a lot of money to buy this stuff. And the Shemite thing takes a while. Because the Shemite's the Indian. And the recorders and the peace pipes and all these things has never been anywhere in this world until just, you know, until I'm saying recently, meaning the last 100 or so years, whatever, but 50 years or whatever. Nobody really even cared about that melody only stuff. But in the last 10, 20, 30, 40 years, New Age music has really become a big thing. But like anything, it kind of fizzles. And there's one place where this all comes together. This little part right up here, the class of music that still hangs on today, there's actually a name for it. And it's called the Mozart effect. You gotta read that anyway. You ever heard of the Mozart effect? You can go to a music store, go to a Kinder or something or whatever. You can buy CDs and cassettes and videos and stuff for your children to listen to. That's Mozart's music. There might be a few other people, but most of it's Mozart. And Mozart is just some of the cleanest stuff you'll find. It's just totally downright clean stuff. Come on, Mozart. I can't imagine you wouldn't be in here. There you go. 2278, 2278. I can't play that one. Okay. That's in Wizard of Oz. Just clean stuff. Sorry. This does not go on YouTube, okay? That's right. So, the devil takes this good music, and I really believe that he's even taken some of my hymn tapes, hymn CDs that I've made. Some people have taken those things and they play them to their babies at night and the whole spiel, and it helps them sleep and all that kind of stuff. I say, you know, I got a problem with that because you're teaching your kid to fall asleep. It's clean music. And they say that if you study to this kind of music and your kids hear this kind of music, it makes you smarter and all this kind of... I mean, this has been proven psychology stuff. And you spend money for this stuff. This is a big deal. I got a whole presentation on that thing too. But the devil knows how to take God's music and still ruin little kids with it. So they're addicted to music. Kids today have to have music. We get addicted to stuff. My left ear tonight, because there's nobody that he wants, he's not going to be there tonight. My left ear misses that thing up in here. We get addicted to these things. We get addicted to your cell phones, your headphones, and your music, and your computers, and your email. We get addicted to stuff. And we've taught our kids to be addicted to music, and they can't live without music. They just can't. Your TV's on just to have it on. What's the matter with silence? We used to sing, silence is golden. Dun, 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 dun. Something like that. I don't know. Some of those songs. And it is. We can't stand. I'm getting where I don't like silence. And we should be able to take care of that thing. So what happened here, though, there was a time that this all came together. Okay? The New Age stuff. The The rock music all came together. And if we'll finish this up, go to Isaiah chapter 2. I'll try to finish this thing up. I don't know how long this has been going. I have no clue. I'm not sure they're still out there yet. And you probably haven't learned a thing, but I want you to recognize that music is not neutral. Music is not something to snuff your nose at. Music is not something to ignore at all. It's prime going on right now in churches. New Age has come up now, and when this New Age thing is merged with everybody else, New Age is Eastern. And what do all these Bibles say? They're Eastern in their origin. They're Eastern in their terminology. These NIV Bibles, they're all this rippling here, points this thing out. Satanic versions, they're all Eastern religions and Eastern Orthodox, Eastern kind of stuff, okay? And we look here at Isaiah chapter 2, and we look at verse 6. And one of the problems God had with His people was, therefore thou hast forsaken thy people, the house of Jacob, because they be replenished from the east. And what has happened to our music is first it was the Japheth, then it was the African, and the last thing that came up and sealed everything together was the East. So now if we want to be encouraged and comforted and guided and helped in the whole spiel, we're actually turning to the East for our music. Even though there's rock music today and the whole thing, that's how far we've gone with this whole thing. You can pick any kind, right now today, you can get any of that music at a decent music store. And there's nothing new coming. I mean, they have destroyed their instruments. They've gone devilish. They've gone New Age. I mean, there's just nothing left. And so, that even tells me that time is running down from a musical standpoint. And You might like some classical stuff. You might like some flesh stuff. You might even like some New Age stuff. Because I like to listen to the water come up on the beach without having to be there. But if they put Mozart to it, I don't like it. Can I just buy a tape of music with the water running up on the beach? But even that's a New Age thing. But it beats listening to their band play across a couple blocks away. If you... what was I going to say now? Okay, here we go. Hymns, Fanny Crosby, Philip Bliss, all the hymns that we sing, were all designed musically during this time. Even though they're up in these years, not very much of it, most of that stuff is based on this musical structure here. Meaning the chord progressions, the chords themselves. Harmonies are straight, clean. Five, one, four, one, five, one. Now, that still probably doesn't mean much to you, but that same pattern is exactly what rock music is. Just exactly. But all they've done is they've added the beat to it. I probably can't even do it here. Let's see here. I don't remember anything. How's Louie Louie go? Why do you know all these things? That was a setup question. It's your dad. But anyway. Come on. Is it a rock song? I can't even think of one. Well, here. Little Richard. Offbeat stuff. Anyway. I can't even think of a rock song tonight. What's a Beatles thing? I should know that one. Let it be. What?
Listening
to Elvis. Okay, Elvis. Jailhouse Rock. You ain't none but a hound. You ain't. You ain't nothing but a hound dog.
Blueberry Hill.
But that's not a rock song. Just yeah, jazzy song. Blues. You can end it. Done in music. They just wrecked music.
Yeah.
And yet there is still something that pleases God. There can be music that pleases God. And it's considered healthy. You just don't want it to become their only medicine. So you don't deny it from them, but you don't make that their sole diet either. And the hymns were written that way. It just happens to be that their doctrine's all screwy in lots of places. But nobody cares because the music they hear out there is so bad, they like to hear this. But now in our churches, they certainly don't want to hear this stuff. They want to hear this stuff. And the teens are into this stuff. And it all comes together and it's just being replenished from the East. Our Bibles are from the East. Our music is from the East. And He's going to come from the East and the whole spiel of Antichrist. I don't know how that's going to be. And you saw a bunch of different biblical examples of how you can use music wrong, biblically, Old Testament stuff. You know what they're doing? They're doing Jewish-designed music in our churches today. Now, why should that surprise us? They're teaching Jewish doctrine. They're using Eastern, which is still Jewish teachings. Why wouldn't their music be Eastern in this realm, with all the flesh being added with the devil himself? Leaving this stuff out, because you play something clean like that for your kids when they get older, they are bored to death, as many of you probably are. And you listen to some classical music and go get a Mozart flute sonata tape and play it in your truck sometime. Keep your CB off so nobody hears it. But that's what there's your quick on the other side of that track. We'll do it tomorrow. A bunch of scriptures about music too. I'll give you that too if you want. I don't know.